Welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey, a weekly podcast featuring real and practical spiritual conversations from fresh perspectives here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today, episode 263, The Real Me. And now your host, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Hello and welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey. My name is Cynthia Alice Anderson. I'm the host and I'm here today in 818 Studios with my producer.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dave Croft. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey. As always, we want to welcome you to a brand new week. It's so good to be with you. Welcome to July. Yep, tomorrow is July 4th. Do you have any July 4th plans? Anything? Any fireworks or cookouts on your...
plans were yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Dear friend had a big bash, so...
Right on. Very, very
cool. Lots of good food, lots of good friends, so...
Yeah. Yesterday was mine and Shannon's 29th anniversary.
Oh, you're kidding. Yeah, wow.
29 years, wedding anniversary, and it was just a quiet, you know, just chill. You know us. We don't do tons like a big giant birthday party. I mean, the big ones. I imagine the 30th next year is going to be pretty, you know, pretty eventful as our 25th was, as our
20th was. Maybe do a big event for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, 29 years. And so I guess together 31 years, because we got together about a year and a half before.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Crazy. And didn't you guys meet in music school?
Yeah, we met at Appalachian State. Yep. She was on the color guard. I was in the drum line, and she was a junior. I was the new lowly freshman, completely oblivious. Oh my gosh. She had to put the moves on me. I was dumb. I was a dumb
band. Dave was like, you like me?
Exactly. Wow. That's truer than you know. But 29 years. And what's crazy is, like, we've been together now much longer than we weren't together. You know what I mean? And so you start doing the math. Yeah. Like there's this event horizon when you realize this person's been in my life longer than they've not been in my life.
And so, yes. That is super
interesting. Getting
super
older,
sweet.
Hitting these big milestones. You know, I'll be 50 this year. So just knocking
them
down.
Oh, you're just now 50? I forgot I was a few years older. Yeah.
I know. I'm a youngin', aren't I? All the gray in my beard. That's what my students think when they see me. Ooh, he's a young fella. No, they don't think that at all. Well, it's good to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
It's funny you're saying that because, you know, the title today, which I'll have you give to our listeners, is all about the authentic self. Mm. And I feel like it's amazing, Dave, how sometimes I pray on these themes. Well, I always pray on the theme, but it's really interesting to see what comes forward in our chit chat. That's kind of unconscious, but the theme always comes through.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give us our title.
Today's title is The Real Me, The Real Me. And there's no judgment for anybody that, like, you know, if you're listening and you dye your beard, that's fine.
Or your hair.
But for me, as far as being real, you know, 1996. I'm sure I've told this story before, but, you know, I'm bald, right? I'm a bigger guy. I'm like 6'2", 250, right? I'm a big dude. Uh-huh. And so I was growing my hair out in 1996, and then I saw somebody else kind of shave their head, and I was like, wow, that looks really comfortable and low maintenance. And I had like almost long hair, and so I shaved it off. And then I realized, wow, underneath all of that long hair was, I'm losing my hair. You just don't realize it while growing it out. And so I just decided back then just to shave it off. You know, I know it's the 21st century comb over, but I'm just, you know, I am removing all doubt that I have lost my hair. Yep.
Well, it looks great. Yeah, it looks great. The only thing is, I'm thinking you have to provide a picture in the show notes of you with long hair. I can't imagine it. I cannot picture.
I'll try to find a picture.
I cannot picture it.
All right, yeah, I'll try to find a picture with longer hair. Longer hair, little round glasses, a little pencil beard,
total,
you know?
Total nerd.
Oh, dude, man, I was peak band nerd. And Shannon reminded me just recently, you know, I've gone through lots of different eyeglass styles. The ones that she fell in love with were like these little cute kind of little round glasses. We call them like Harry Potter looking glasses now, but they're round tortoiseshell type glasses, right? Uh-huh. And I went through a period where I had like these square glasses, but they were square, like gold frames. They were like 20 years ahead of their time, right? I thought they were like, in my mind, I'm thinking hipster energy, but in like, in 1995, hipster wasn't a thing. It was like dad energy. So here I am, this like 22-year-old kid with like Magoo looking Ned Flanders glasses, you know? And so, and that was also happened to be the time where I got a job at a grocery store where I shaved my beard the first time. And so I had a mustache. I had like old dad glasses. It was not my finest hour.
Well, it was part of your stage my of process. Development.
There you go. Yeah,
it was part of your process. Yeah,
I had to be in my larval stage in my cocoon so that I could emerge the beautiful butterfly I am today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right. There is something about hitting 50 and being in your 50s that it is a milestone, and there's something about looking back and seeing the you're kind of the living picture of those choices. Mm. You know, health-wise, if you've started making good choices in your 50s, you go to the doctor and they're surprised you're not on medications. You know, that's happened. I recently had a little mishap in my backyard where I didn't tell you about it, but I stepped on a rusty nail. Uh-oh. And I had to go to the doctor and get a tetanus
shot.
Yep. Yeah, it was old roofing nail. And luckily I had on Crocs, which mostly saved me. But anyway, nevertheless, it was a couple of days for this big family trip up to the mountains. I thought, yeah, I don't think I want to be foaming at the mouth in the mountains. So maybe I'll go ahead and get checked out. But anyway, I went to the doctor, of course. It was just like a little clinic because I knew they could do a tetanus there quickly and all that. Well, the quickly was, I was wrong on that point, but it was hours. But anyway, nevertheless, quicker than the ER. Right. And, when they took my blood pressure, it was so good. She was like, wow. Well, it actually opened a conversation with the nurse who is on a similar spiritual journey. I was so delighted by that because she goes, wow, that, I said, what's my blood pressure? And she gave me the numbers and I said, that's good, isn't it? She goes, you can't. That's almost low. It's so good. And I said, well, you know, all of my siblings are either on heart meds or blood pressure meds. And, you know, I said, everybody says it runs in the family, but what runs in the family is eating sausage and bacon and
stress,
stress and doing stuff you hate. And, you know, and I said, you know, I really do acknowledge I think it's my meditation work and my, you know, good eating. I said, I went through a health challenge years ago and it woke me up, you know, a little bit to some of those things. And she said, oh yes, yes. And then she talked about setting her intention every morning. And I said, oh wow. So, you know, opened up a whole conversation, but nonetheless, what it reminded me of is that the good health choices began 20 years ago. Mm. And, you know, I am really, really grateful for the health I have now and some of the other choices, too. I mean, you know, I with the title of today being The Real Me, it's caused me to think of how did I get to the point I am now and how can I continue this? Because I am in a really good place. Not like I'm not trying to impress anybody with what I'm doing. I'm saying I have a great deal of peace with my life and with my choices. And this trip I was mentioning earlier, too, I was just back with so much family. And every year, you know, we have this trip we do. It's a memorial trip where we honor, you know, the family members that have passed in the last year. And anyway, part of what we do up there, so this may be new information to a lot of people. In the South, there are these cemeteries. They're called Oddfellows Cemeteries. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those,
no,
but they're basically just up in the woods, these cemeteries. And people would go into those areas and, you know, kind of claim a family area with a large stone. So anyway, my family has gravestones, markers in this Oddfellows Cemetery up in the mountains of North Carolina. And so every year we go up, we clean it off, we do a little informal, you know, jeans, and we're in jeans and flannels and have shovels and gloves and everything to do, you know, kind of a honoring in memory memorial graveside for who passed. You know, last year it was my mom, this year it was her sister, you know. So anyway, it's a real important part of what we do. And interestingly, even though when I was younger, it was a place of a great deal of emotional pain and confusion, as I've aged, it's become a place of healing and reset. And in the evening after all of that, there's always a time of music. And I felt, so there's this home there. The home is the home of my great-grandmother, and it was, the original part of the home was built in 1840. So it's almost 200 years old. And the person who owns it now, carried on her tradition. So my great-grandmother's tradition, it was a haven for hikers on the Appalachian Trail, because the Appalachian Trail goes right through the town. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a marker. The home is literally a marker on the trail. Wow. And so every time I'm there, I'm meeting people from all around the country, around the world, that are there hiking the trail. And there's something about it that is a reset for me. And this last time, in the evening, we did music the way we always do. And there was some realization of like, wow, when I'm here, I am totally myself. And it was a great, great reset for me to reconnect with the things about myself that nobody in my career, or, you know, so often I'm talking about work success or relationship success, or, you know, how to move forward on the journey. But this was just about being comfortable in my own skin. And boy, has it taken a lot of work to get there. So I hope it's making sense what I'm saying. I'm kind of just, I know, riffing on that trip, but.
No, that's absolutely fascinating. I've lived in North Carolina for years and years and didn't know about that.
Yeah, there's a great deal of history there, and especially for my family. I mean, you know, the hardware store in town, my cousin owns it, you know, and it's a very, very small town. So what was interesting, though, what I'm trying to get to is, and just think with me, there's an aspect of myself that I feel like has always been with me. It's informed me a great deal, but it's nothing that is necessarily public, like in my display of it. It's not how I'm known necessarily in the world. It is, in fact, I believe, my soul that is guiding it, but it is, you know, some peace that doesn't have its day or place like in the world at large. It's simply mine. And I don't know if that makes sense. And I'm hoping our listeners are tapping into what I'm saying. Like, I have some good friends that their family are musicians, like in life, one's a police officer, you know, one cuts hair for a living. And I know when they go back and be with family and play music and connect, that's a really important time for them. It has nothing to do with what they do for a living, but somehow it sources them in life. And so I guess what I'm saying, friends, is that I wonder if you have those places as well. Like, what is that aspect of self that has you remembering who you are? You know, so if something happens, say in the workplace, or something happens in relationship, like, what are you coming back to in yourself? And I just had the realization of it is this really almost unknown part to anybody around me. It's a real intimate knowing of myself in a different way. It was like, I can see everything happening. I can connect with everything happening. I can see I'm serving something for this family, my family, but I can also see there's something that's mine and only mine that I have nurtured and developed and listened to for all of my life. It's always like been this nugget that's there. Even in times where I felt alone, there was still that, you know, there was still that piece that was there. And I'm not wanting to name it, because as soon as I say soul, like I said, it's not exactly soul. We say, oh yeah, this is the spiritual. It's more than the spiritual. It has to do with earthly as well. It has to do with probably my DNA. It probably has to do with a great deal, many things that I don't even know how to name. But my reflection over this last, it's been the last several weeks, has been, I think for the first time maybe ever, I'm really comfortable in my own skin, not explaining who I am or what I do or expecting people to like or dislike my decisions. It has become a complete non-issue what somebody might say or do around, you know, about my life or my choices, which is frankly a very freeing place to be.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, even with that trip itself, because in my family, not everybody can go. And it was like, that's fine. I'm going, I'm doing, I'm being, I'm, you know, and it, I guess ultimately it's about listening to that voice within that knows what's mine, you know, what's mine to do, but it is bigger than that. I don't know how to talk about it, but maybe you guys are feeling into it as I'm speaking about it. Like there's this part of oneself that I think we have to find true peace, and nobody can give us that. No book, no speaker, no workshop. Although I think those things kind of point to it. I don't think they're it. You know, so as I was thinking about the show, I was thinking, I'm not sure how to talk about this, but I'm going to try. And what I hope our listeners can glean is that no one, not me, not Dave, not the Dalai Lama, not some Marianne Williamson or Eckhart Tolle or a politician or Facebook, you know, it is such an internal process of finding one's authentic self, and takes a great deal of fortitude to kind of push through what everybody thinks you're supposed to do and be, you know, even within the family system. Sometimes that's the hardest one.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, especially if you come from a family of, you know, high achievers, or
oh yes,
maybe you're the first person in your family to go to college, mm-hmm. you know, then a lot of expectation that kind of gets put on that. And mm-hmm. I can imagine it's a challenge. Or, you know, for me, I had, you know, I was in like gifted programs and stuff early in school, which was fine. Mm-hmm. It was cool. But when it came to high school, I just wanted to be a musician, right? I just wanted to be a composer. I wanted to play music. I did not want to take AP calculus. I did not want to take AP English or do any of that. So I kind of...
You were over it.
I was completely over. What I wanted to do was like jazz band and marching band and concert. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, I think it worked out, but I had to kind of remove myself, get out of that AP slipstream, that I'd been in since, wow, since like third grade. I think that's when that's when I got tested, you know, for MGM, they called it, mentally gifted minors. And from third grade up until about 10th grade, you know, I was in that lane, and it was a super conscious choice. And I remember, I mean, my parents were supportive, but I remember thinking at the time how, you know, oh man, am I being lazy? Am I letting anybody down or anything? I just wanted to make music. I did not want to read a book a week.
Right. That just sounded arduous. Yep, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? That, you know, and the systems now, you know, of course my son is in high school and there's all kinds of guidance counselors saying what you should do and not do to get into the right college. And, you know, I said, well, that's their opinion, and do what you love to do and let joy lead the way. You know, it's what we were talking about, you know, last month with joy as a success vibration. And it, interestingly, this theme keeps coming up in my life with clients. And again, this realization I've been working with for a while, which is, you know, for years, I really was striving. And not in a bad way. I love to accomplish things. I love to do things. I love to reach the world with our message. But interestingly, I think there was some force around that. And you know, I would find myself thinking or saying, you know, I just want my seat at the table. And I was talking to a client the other day who was, you know, in a struggle. And I said to her, well, you know, I was like that for some time and I wanted my seat at the table. And then I realized there is no table. And she goes, oh, my God. I go, yeah, it's completely made up. There is no table. There's nothing outside of me and my journey that's going to make me any happier. Like, happiness can be found in every moment. And then out of that, any opportunity or success arises. But me trying to make something, to make a seat at the table, to make everybody respect me, to whatever. It's not there. There is no there there. It's like as soon as you get there, there's another there. You know, my former mentor, Sharon Poindexter, I say former, she's been past many years, but her teachings still inform me. She says, you know, so often we're taught there's a next rung on the ladder, and then we realize there is no ladder. You know, it's imaginary that we have to do these next steps to be okay or to be successful. And, you know, I've said many times that as I've looked back on the people in my life that meant the most to me, it wasn't somebody that was a grandiose, quote unquote, success. As a matter of fact, those people put me off. It was regular people just living their lives and blessing me with their wisdom, with their discernment, with their love, you know, just basics, basics. And with everyone, it was really time. It was time with them that mattered, you know, so I'm not saying we don't have goals, friends. You know how much I love talking about goals, but I'm saying we don't have to strive for something and think that that striving is going to get us something other than something outward. Like the inward success, the inward feeling, the inward peace doesn't come from any outward success. As soon as you get there, it's as empty as the last success, and you have to keep striving. And that's what our whole world is doing right now. So, you know, my continued work is as I like really tap into the real me. And I think it's a process, but as I really tap into the real me, the interesting thing is success, for lack of a better word, or opportunity, as just shows up at my door. And that's been a wonderful gift from the universe. It's like, what if I just trusted? You know, what if I just trusted that the universe really was supporting me? What if I just trusted that as I am at peace, as I am being of service, as I am being my full, authentic self, as much as I can to the best of my ability and with the knowledge I have now, then all is truly well. All is truly well. And, you know, when I get into the ego and start wondering and how can I work it out, it's like, no. You know, just come back to self, come back to center, come back to, you know, remembering that I am loved and supported by the whole universe. All is truly well. That's not a throw-off statement. That's a feeling. That's a knowing. There was this great psychiatrist. His name was Carl Jung, who I've studied for many years. And just he revolutionized how we understand the human psyche. And one time he was asked, you know, early in his career, do you believe in God? And he goes, yeah, yeah, you know, I believe in God. And anyway, later in his career, I know he's probably 70, early 70s. He was asked, do you believe in God? And he said, well, they said, you said earlier you believe in God. And he paused. He goes, belief? No, I know. Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm talking about. This inner knowing. This inner knowing. No one can give you that, friends. We can point to it. We can remind you of it. But that inner knowing, that inner peace absolutely comes from you. And what I know is, I have faith in, is that if I can come to some kind of peace and awareness, I think anybody can. Yeah. There's just this real sense of, like, I don't know what's next for myself and my life, but I know whatever it is, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be present for it. I'm going to be very, very present for it.
Yeah, that's how I feel, you know, coming up on 50.
Exactly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 50 is a big one.
Yeah, hitting a milestone like that just... You just, I don't know, you kind of take a sobering look at what you've accomplished and where you want to be, and you realize there are probably fewer miles ahead of you than behind you, and yet, I have more confidence now than like I ever have. I don't mean exactly. Just professionally or in relationships or whatever, I just am more confident of who I am.
Yeah, who you are in the world.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and I don't know if you're experiencing this, Dave, but one of the things that's come forward for me is some of the things I loved as a kid that have come back around for me. It was pretty funny. For Mother's Day this year, my son always makes me something, you know, a card or something. And I said, and then a gift, you know. And this year I said, because he used to collect comics. And anyway, long story short, he was going to get rid of some of them. You know, they were the ones that are packaged.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, because they're old 60s or earlier. And, you know, the print's different. And anyway, certain editions of comics, he used to collect that stuff. So I knew he was done with it. And I said, what I want for Mother's Day is your old comics. Because I love the old superheroes. I've always really enjoyed reading those.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a real funny thing to like reconnect with. And it's just fun. Mm-hmm. No one in the world might know that I love to read Spider-Man or about the Incredible Hulk or, you know, but what's funny is it connects me to an older time. It connects me to, a time in my life that was, you know, those images were important. Those were, you know, it like connects me back with myself in a funny way. And it's a little thing, but like every time I look at one of those comics, I smile.
Yeah. There's like, there's an element of potential, possibility, optimism that comes from like looking back.
Yes.
And doing something that was important to you back then.
Yeah, and it's nostalgic, but it's also it is also looking forward too. Mm-hmm. And it's reading it with new eyes and going, oh, that's so funny. I wonder what I would have thought when I was 10 reading that. And there's something about, yeah, that touch in, it is a great kind of self-reflection. I don't know why. And I wasn't doing it for that reason, like, oh, let's go have a self-reflection. But it's about like trusting that inner guidance about what you're going to do or what you're drawn to. And yeah. And seeing yourself in that is special. And I hope this has made sense today, because I wanted to let myself just talk about it, because it is more a feeling than anything I could teach in words. Like, I can't say do these three steps to find this, but it is a feeling. It is a knowing. It is a movement of energy. And in the next month, it might deepen. It might change. What I love is that I can know at this moment right now that, you know, as I sit here, I'm holding this stone, which I've held stones. This is a sandstone, which I've held my entire life and worked with. It's I'm at peace with myself. And I think that's what everyone needs. So my hope for you, friends, is that as you listen, as you do your inner work, that you become more and more in alignment with this idea, this feeling, this knowing. This is our hope for you, that you are bringing more peace, more love, more goodness into your life and into the world. This is what I believe we're here to do. So we thank you for joining us today. As always, thank you for your support, for your love. And we are honored that you trust us with your journey, and we're happy to be a part of it. So we'll look forward to seeing you next week, and blessings on the journey, dear friends.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Authentic Spiritual Journey is copyright 2023, Cynthia Alice Anderson, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission from RR Hot Publishing. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.
Thank you for listening to the show today, dear friends. I'm always happy to have you along the journey. If you're seeking deeper work, though, I'm going to invite you into one-on-one coaching with me. In my coaching work, I get to glean from my over 30 years of experience of working with individuals and leaders in the community on their spiritual journey. So I have a wealth of information that will help you along the journey, and it will be supportive. It will be supportive of your dreams, goals, and desires, but it will also be confrontive, because I am going to help you confront those limiting patterns and beliefs and help you break through those aspects and move into looking at life in a more holistic way. So even though it will be confrontive and at times even challenging, you will learn to grow, you will learn to prosper, and you will evolve into the person you have always wanted to be. Friends, the answers lie within you, and I am so honored to help empower you to live that truth and that goodness in the world. If you want to learn more about coaching with me, simply go to CynthiaAliceAnderson.com and go to the coaching section for more information. That's CynthiaAliceAnderson.com and go to coaching. And I'll be happy to set up a one-on-one call so we can discuss how I can best support your journey. Thanks again for joining me today, dear friend, and blessings on the journey.